Welcome to Encompass Church Podcast. We are so glad you've joined us today. To share your story of what God has been doing in you and through you, take a moment to email us at amen@encompass.org.au. Enjoy today's message.
I want to talk today about divine interruptions. Everybody say divine interruptions. How many like to be interrupted? Not too many people. You know, we don't like interruptions. Whether it's or delays or just things not working out the way we want them to. Maybe you're running late for work and you get stuck in traffic. How frustrating is that? You think, oh, you're kidding me. Or maybe you're traveling down the road listening to your favorite music and you forget to take the exit. And then, oh no, I missed the exit now. How am I going to get back? The GPS is recalculating and then it takes you an extra 20 minutes. Frustrating is that. Maybe you've got a cake in the oven and you want it to rise and it's not rising or it rises and it flops. And you think, oh, I can't believe it. Maybe you're trying to get the kids to bed and they just won't sleep. Or maybe just somebody pops in to your workplace. Oh, I just thought I'd pop in. You think, oh, I'm so busy. What are you doing here? Interruptions, you know, we get frustrated when things like that happen because we like to plan out our life. True? Anybody an obsessive planner? Who has lists? You start up, come on, you know, it's all right. You get some people going like that. Of course you do. We have lists of things because we like to plan out what we're going to do during the day. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But how many of you know that things don't always work out the plan? Yeah, your plan, best laid plans don't work. And I found that, and I found the scripture. And in fact, if you can just remember this scripture, you remember the whole message. And it's found in Psalm 37, verse 23. So we're going to put it up. This is it here. Read it with me together. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Everybody say with me, the steps of a good man, of a good woman, of a good girl, of a good boy, are ordered by the Lord. So that means that overarching our plans and our thoughts, and that there is another hand which is guiding us. How many know that? And so, you know, I'm going to suggest to you something here, that, you know, those frustrating moments, those interruptions, those mistakes that happen, those delays, those errors that can occur in our life, those chance meetings, maybe sometimes it's God putting you exactly where He wants you to be rather than where you want to be. He's the one orchestrating our life. I want to share with you something about a mistake that happened in my life, but it's a good mistake. It was a mistake that I met my wife, but it was a good mistake. I didn't say it was a bad mistake. It was a good mistake. Let me tell you how it happened. I was in college and Lois was in college and they were organizing a trip to go interstate, and they had this formula. So many guys and so many girls went along, and her name of course is Lois. Do you know how many people confused her name for Lewis? It's just amazing. They say, Lewis. No, it's not Lewis. Lewis is a boy, right? So they get confused. I mean, why would they confuse it? Lois and Superman. I mean, what's with these guys? They just never get it right. Anyway, the person who was organizing this trip thought that she was a boy. And so she ends up coming along on our trip interstate. And I was the one driving the car. So I was in the car with her for many, many hours. And it's like, she is only 20 years of age, and I'm 22 years of age. It was a mistake. She should never have been there. And get God, I think it was a good mistake. How many think it was a good mistake? It was a great mistake. But you know what? Overarching, he may have made a mistake, but God didn't make a mistake. And he got me exactly where I needed to be. And we've been married now for... I always get this wrong. Is it 35? Yes, I got it right. Oh, wow, I got stuck at 32. I keep on saying it was 32. It is 35. 35 years, and God made it all happen. You know, it just reminds me of some stories I've heard even in the church. Josie is one of our song leaders, and you would know that she has a daughter. Her name is Jacqueline, and they've been part of our church for so many years. But they were telling me the story, and they've told me a number of times that they came to this church by mistake. It really was an accident. They were traveling to go to another church, and what happened is that Settlement Road was blocked, and so they had to take a detour. They're running late. They're getting frustrated, and they go, "Oh no, we're going to be so late to the service." And then there's all this traffic along McLean's Road, and then they drive past this church, and they go, "Oh, we didn't know this. Oh, is this the church? This is the church where our cousins go to. Ah, oh, we're running late. How about we just pop in?" That was 20 years ago. They popped in once, and God just did something in their life, and just miracles in their life. God restored their life. God brought hope to their life. It seemed like an accident, but it was God actually directing their steps, for the steps of a good man or good woman are ordered by the Lord. And I believe there are people in this congregation, particularly this service, and you've come to our church. Really, you weren't planning to come. Somehow you got here. Maybe you're driving past. Maybe somebody invited you. But you are broken. Your life is a mess. But God has brought you here to bring healing, to bring hope, to give you a future, to give you a purpose. You're going to walk out, you're going to find progressively that healing and strength will come inside of your life, because your steps have been ordered by God, and God's going to do a work in you. And I speak that over your life. And I believe that we will see and hear stories about what God has done for you. I was, you know what I like to do between services? I like to talk to people. And I was talking to this lady, and she comes up to me. It was Bev Hardy. Some of you know, maybe you don't know. She says, "Oh, Pastor John, you know how I met my husband?" I said, "No, I didn't. I met him. The only reason I met him is because he lost his passport." I said, "Really?" He says, "I was in Germany. He was passing by Germany. He lost his passport. He got into the hostel. I was staying at the hostel. I met him. We got married, and here we are today. That was God's arrangement." How's that? I've heard of people have had a flat tire. They're looking for a partner in life. They had a flat tire. The person who drives up and changes a tire ends up being their partner in life. So guess what? There's still hope for you, baby. So, you know, God is the one who orchestrates our life. I believe that. I believe our steps are orchestrated by Him. It's not fate. He is in charge. And so those times of frustrating delay, interruption, hold up could actually be God putting you exactly where you need to be. Say amen. You think about Jesus. The miracles that He did were actually, many of them actually took place as an interruption to His schedule. And I want to suggest to you that rather than planning out everything in your life, that you leave room for those God moments, divine moments, where you have space in your mind, space in your schedule for what might happen. That you say, "Well, look, you know, I'm gonna organize my day, I'm gonna plan my day, but I'm gonna leave some room because I really wanna be an agent for God. I really want to flow with what He wants in my life." Wouldn't that be a better way to live life? Rather than boring, doing this and then we do this, but allow for those God moments. Say amen. Allow for the God moments in your life, and you'll see how He will steer you. Now let's have a look at Jesus for a moment. Many of the miracles that took place were an interruption, really. In Luke chapter 18, we read that Jesus is going to a particular destination and He's just carrying on His business. And while He's carrying on His business, there's a blind man that hears that Jesus is in the vicinity. And he can't see Him, of course, but he starts to shout out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The people are telling you, "Be quiet, shut up. You're creating a ruckus, you're creating a scene." But He's got a need. Nobody's going to shut this guy up. "Jesus, here I am, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus is walking past. Now, Jesus didn't say, "Hey, And man, I'd like to help you, but I got a lot of things on my plate. You know, I'm the Son of God. There's so much that I need to do. No, he stops and he walks over to the man. Obviously, he's got a hungry heart and he brings healing into his life. It's an interruption. It was not planned. It just happened that way. Let me give you another illustration. John chapter 2, Jesus finds himself at the wedding of Cana. Now that's, it was obviously a wedding that the family knew that this family were getting married. And so Jesus is there minding his own business. He's with his family. He's with his friends. And then suddenly Mary, mum, says to Jesus, "Jesus, they've run out of wine. There's no more drink." You got to listen to your mum, eh? And he goes, "Why? What happened here?" He says, "Well, they've run out of drink. It's going to be so embarrassing for the bride, for the groom. It's going to be so embarrassing. They're going to be talking about this for ages. You've got to do something, Jesus." How many of you have ever been to a wedding and you start to analyze how good the drink is and how good the food is? Come on, tell me the truth now. You kind of go, "Man, this chicken's really dry here." What are they thinking, man? That's right. You know, that's what people do when they go to weddings. They're thinking, "Oh no, they're going to be talking about this forever. Jesus, you've got to do something." Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, this is not part of my schedule. I haven't got time for this. Hey, come back tomorrow. I'm not on duty today." No. He realizes that the interruption is a divine opportunity. Say that with me. The interruption is a divine opportunity. So don't dismiss these things too quickly. Now, I'm not saying that every interruption is a divine opportunity. Sometimes it is an interruption. But sometimes it is actually a divine opportunity that you need to grab a hold of. God wants to do something through you. Amen? It reminds me of a story of a man who was up a ladder. And there's something about men and ladders, by the way. He was put, you can just imagine, say a wall about that high. He had this really big home, and he wanted to put this huge mirror up there. It must have been really totally huge because he was able to hold it himself. So he's up a ladder and he thinks, "I've just got to get this thing done." And so he pulls, he goes up and up. And you know what it is with men? They sometimes overextend themselves, you know? And they're thinking, "Oh, I can do it." There's something about ladders, men, and accidents. It just occurs. I think it's just that they want to get the job done, right? And so that what they really should be doing is shifting the ladder. Oh, no, but not this guy. He's going, I can reach it. Collapses. The guy collapses onto the floor. Gets up, oh, sore neck. And of course, the wife is really, you know, concerned. Go to the hospital. Goes to the hospital, waiting in the emergency department. It's, oh, gee. Anyway, you know what they do. You have to wait for all of these x-rays. And so they check him out, and thankfully, he's okay. He's all right. But while they're doing all the tests, they discover something else by accident. He has got a blockage in the main artery to his heart that is 98% blocked. He is a walking time bomb. They fix up the blockage. The point is, had he not fallen, had he not almost broken his neck, had he not this annoying interruption, delay happened, he wouldn't have realized what danger he was in. So God uses a situation that is completely not planned to bring about good into his life. You see, they are divine interruptions that God allows in our life to teach us something. So this is it. Not every setback is of the enemy. Not every delay is a mistake. Not every disappointment is an accident. God is in charge of your life. And what the enemy wants to do to destroy you, God can turn around for good. Say amen. He can turn the whole thing around and make it work out the way he wants it to. I want to finish with a story. And it's a little bit of a lengthy story, but really relates to what we're talking about here. We as a church support an organization called A21. Does anybody know what A21 is? Please lift your hand up so I know. Okay, only a few of you. By the time I finish the story, you will understand. It's a very, very worthy cause. It's something that's very dear to our heart. In fact, when it comes to Mother's Day, you will understand why it's so important. The person who actually founded this organization, her name is Christine Kane. Everybody say Christine Kane. She's a Greek. That's probably she got married, so I don't know what her Greek name is. Maybe Shavosky or I don't know, whatever. Something like Bobolus and Moglis or something like that. But anyway, she's a really, really good speaker. And God is using her right around the world for women's conferences. She, in 2007, is so excited because she's going back to Greece. She's never been there before. Mum and Dad were born there, but she was born here. She's so excited. And she's thinking to herself, wow, I can hardly wait to see the place where Mum and Dad grew up. You know what it's like if you've ever been back to the homeland. I'm going to meet my cousins. I'm going to meet my uncles and my aunties. So she's really, really thrilled to do that. But God has got something bigger in mind for her that she doesn't realize. She flies into a place called Thessalonica. Everybody say Thessalonica. That's actually found in the Bible. It still today exists. It's just spelled a little bit different. It's a fairly old airport. She has been flying for 33 hours. She's really, really tired. It hasn't been a direct flight. She's had to go through London and Singapore. By the time she gets there, if you've been on a flight for 33 hours, believe me, you are dead tired. You probably haven't slept. And so she gets there and goes, oh, I just want to grab a hold of my baggage. I want to go to my motel. I just want to have something to eat. I want to have a shower. And just get me out of this place. So she goes to the carousel. And you know what it's like. It's got the name of the plane and all that sort of thing. And it's not working. It's not working. She waits and waits. Nothing. Nothing's moving. I think, you got to be kidding me. You're what? Oh, come on. And then she hears this voice over the loudspeaker that says, ladies and gentlemen, you always worry when that you get that. Ladies and gentlemen, we are sorry or apologize that the conveyor equipment is not working. Our repairmen are doing their best to rectify the problem. We thank you for your patience. How many of you know that's code language? We're going to be here for a long time. Come on. How many of you know that means nothing whatsoever, whatever? And so they just, what? It's the middle of the night, right? We're talking about it's 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. So what are they going to do in an airport, an old airport, a fairly small airport? She walks around. The cafes are closed. And so she says, well, I'll walk around because I'm sick of sitting down. So she's walking around thinking, oh, yeah, look at that. And she comes across this wall. And on the wall, there are photos of young girls, photos of young women. And over every one of those photos, there's just one word, missing. She's got 30 minutes and she keeps on going from picture to photo, the names, where they came from, when they disappeared. And she's got two girls of her own. And she thinks, how tragic would that be to have your little girl disappear, never to be seen again? She's just awestruck by the whole thing. Just watching, what's happening here? Missing? What does missing mean? What happened? Did they run away? Were they kidnapped? Were they abducted? What happened to these girls? And so she's pondering the whole thing. Suddenly, the conveyor belt starts to work again, and she looks at her luggage, and oh, there's mine, grabs a hold of it and goes to her motel. But God has done a number on her. God has got a hold of her attention. She can't sleep that night because she's thinking about these girls that have gone missing. In the morning, she wakes up and she starts to find out the answer. She's talking to people around her. Can you tell me, who are these girls? At the airport, there's so many of them. What are they doing missing? And the hostess, Maria, says to her, well, we don't know, but it seems they may have been kidnapped. It's very, very tragic. Parents grieve. They don't know where to look. And all we can do is pray. And something inside of her started to stir. She got angry. She's getting distressed. She's getting annoyed. What do you mean? They just disappear. Isn't anybody doing anything? She gets so annoyed. You see what I'm saying? A divine interruption that she starts an organization that right now is global. How did it start? A delay, an annoyance. She thought it was natural, but God was doing a number on it. Let me just read what these guys do, and if at any point in time you want to support it, can I encourage you? These guys are doing an absolute incredible job. This is what they do. A21, a non-profit, non-government organization that works to fight human trafficking, including sexual exploitation and forced labor, slave labor in places like Central and Eastern Europe, Thailand, and now right across the globe. The purpose is not just to rescue girls, but to provide protection, emergency housing, medical and psychological treatment, as well as legal and vocational assistance. You can get on the website, you can listen to the stories, you can hear them. Just recently, I was just reading it this week, just three of them got rescued just this week. And one of the names is Carly. Actually, it's not Carly because they've changed the name. They can't give you the details. Let me tell you the story about Carly. Carly's 14 years of age, just living a normal life. She gets abducted, disappears. Those who are trafficking her use her, abuse her. She loses her innocence. They starve her, they beat her, they torture her, to the point she's unrecognizable. There's some very evil men in this world. One night, her nightmare comes to an end. The local police get a tip-off that there's traffickers hiding and got women, have got girls working for them. They grab her in the middle of the night and they take her to one of these shelters, the A21 rescue shelters, and there they feed this little girl. They give her medical assistance. They encourage her. They speak into her life. And slowly, and I mean slowly, 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 this girl who has been torn apart, heartbroken, shattered, begins to find a little bit of healing and then a little bit more healing and then hope, light. But today, after a lot of work, we have a beautiful, bright, healthy, confident girl who's come out of the darkest of circumstances. Because one woman was in an airport, was delayed, looked at some pictures, saw some photos, and said, I gotta do something. That is a divine interruption. That changes the world. When we grab a hold of things like that, when we say, I gotta do something, and when you feel something stirring your heart about others, do something. Be aware of what's going on around you. You can be an agent of change. Now, this is massive, of course, but all of us can make a difference. You see, in her own words, I want to tell you in her own words, Christine's words, she says, I thought God was leading me to Greece to speak to a conference, but God used a momentary lost luggage, a delay, an interruption, to not just interrupt my day, but the whole direction of my life. He was asking me to think of how to reach the missing, the lost girls and young women in the darkest places around the globe. Why? Because the steps of a good man, of a good woman, are ordered by the Lord. They're ordered by the Lord. And you are not in this place by accident. Let me tell you something, the interruptions, the things that happen that distress us, maybe even an invitation to come to church, you are not in this place by accident. God loves you and He wants to bless your life. He wants to guide you. He wants to put good things into you if you would just simply take a step toward Him. No matter where you think God is, God has not abandoned you. God is a good, good Father. And if you take a step toward God, God will take a step toward you. And He'll show you how good and how gracious He is. I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes for a moment. And I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer. Take a step toward God. You think the situations around your life are by accident, but yet God is the one behind things, observing and yet at times guiding. And if you take a step toward Him, He will come and live inside of you. And you will know His power and His favor. And you'll know what it is to have Him on your side. Will you pray this prayer, all of us together, from the heart? No matter whether you've been a Christian for a long time or a short time, say, Lord, pray with me, Lord, this day I take a step toward You. Thank You, Lord, for sending Your Son to die on the cross for my sin, so that I could be forgiven, so that I could find a purpose in life. Thank You for not giving up on me. I invite You, come into my life, live in me, change me, forgive me, Lord. Lead me in Your ways. I take a step toward You. For the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Are ordered by the Lord. Come on, just look at me just for a moment. You know, sometimes all it takes is a prayer. Sometimes all it takes is a step toward Him. And you find yourself in a place where you draw closer. And this is Mother's Day. I hope that many of you mothers are looking forward to something from your children. And children, you better give your mom a good prezzy. Make sure you bring them up. Make sure you make their day. But we want to give you something. If you're a mother in the house, you're a girl in the house, or even if you don't have a modern translation of the Bible, let us this Mother's Day, let us give you something. The words of Jesus that talk about the life of Jesus that will literally transform your life. Will you let us do that? No obligation. Just go to the Welcome Hub and just say, Pastor John said that I can have one. Tell him Pastor John said that you can have two, okay? And let us just bless you with that. So once again, to all the mothers, we bless you. We value women in the house. We value girls. You are so precious. You are beautiful. You are valued. You mean so much to all of us. And so once again, let's put our hands together for all of the girls in the house. Let's stand.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Encompass Church. If today's message has impacted you and you want to give your life to Jesus, if you need prayer or if you want to get connected to the church, please contact us at office@encompass.org.au. Never miss a moment by following us online. Search for Encompass Church on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.